Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 10 through 17. Brothers, I am making an appeal to you using the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that you all express the same view and not have any divisions among you, but that you be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For the news I heard about you, my brothers, from members of Chloe's household, is that there are rivalries among you. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that I baptized you into my own name. I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides them, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom used in speeches, so that the cross of Christ would not be emptied of its power. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, we live in a world of darkness, the darkness of sin. We live in a world seemingly ruled by the leader of darkness, the devil. But we are not ruled by that darkness. We have the light of the world by our side, Jesus Christ himself. So as Paul speaks to the congregation in Corinth and to us, he says, be illumined by the cross of Christ. First, let it unite you in love. Brothers, I am making an appeal to you using the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask that you all express the same view and not have any divisions among you, but that you'll be joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The congregation in Corinth was started by Paul. It was dear to him and to his heart. He loved the members. And he cared about the church, whether it would continue to prosper, whether it would continue to be united to proclaim the good news of the gospel, not only among themselves, but also among their neighbors and others in that thriving but apostate city of Corinth. What did Paul say he wanted in that congregation? Unity. And he talks about that in a later on verse. He wants them to be united, to proclaim that message, all of them, the message of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, the message that says all of these false gods in Corinth don't really exist. They can't do anything. They're man-made. They are worthless. And if you trust in them, even just a little bit, it can lead to your damnation. Paul was concerned. He loved these people. He didn't want them to fall away from the truth of the gospel which he had proclaimed. And so we look at Jesus' love for us. When I say Jesus loves us, you say, well, yeah, we all know that. Well, how did he show that love for us? He left heaven. Put aside his heavenly powers, or most of them, took upon himself the form of a human being, just like you and me, to be under his Father's laws, which we are under, which we cannot obey, even though our Father in heaven says, obey them perfectly, I will be your God and you will be my people, and that judgment of God stands. So if we didn't have someone to do it for us, we would be doomed to eternal death. But Jesus loves us. And so he took upon himself the form of that human being to be under his Father's law, to do something we couldn't do. He lived a perfect life. I look at mothers in the congregation and I say, is this your dream? Let's think of Mary, her firstborn, Jesus, never disobeyed her. He was perfect. And everything he did, it was right. And that's what Jesus did. That's why he came. To be perfect for us. To fulfill his Father's demands on us. So that when we die, he says, now you may wear that righteous robe that I've won for you, so that when my Father in heaven sees you, he won't see your sins. He will see my perfection. He had to die. The Old Testament, God said to the people of Israel, sacrifice a lamb to atone for the sins of the people. A sacrifice which was repeated over and over and over again. I hate to think how many lambs were sacrificed because it didn't work. The sacrifice itself was not complete, but it did have a purpose. It pointed ahead to the Lamb of God. As John the Baptist said when he first saw him, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so that Lamb of God was sacrificed on the cross, a sacrifice we deserved, but which he did for us. And when he said, it is finished, he meant it. Now all the sins of all people of all time were paid for. And we're told all you have to do is believe that Jesus did this and heaven will be your home. He did this not to make a name for himself. He did this because he loves us. But in the meantime, now in Corinth, in a church established by Paul, there were divisions. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, we know him as Peter, were all powerful teachers in the church of that day. The sad thing is, some of the people in Corinth now decided, we want this person to be our leader. And so we're coming to this church not because of what is being taught, but because this is where this man is being a leader. And because of that, factions formed. Several leaders were brought up. And all of them said, we come because of this one or that one. Yeah, some said we are believers of Christ, and that is valid. But they were putting him on a par with these other teachers, and they certainly weren't. As Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized into the name of Paul? He said, no one, no human being is better than God. No human being should be placed on a pedestal even with God. And when you are saying, I want to follow because of this person, you're making him equal to God, and that won't work. All of a sudden, the purpose of the church to proclaim the gospel is put on a side burner, and the purpose of the church to see how many people can follow various leaders. He said, let's end all of these factions. So today, do these things sound familiar? When my kids were in Little League, my wife and I were sitting in the stands next to a lady who had a son playing Little League, and she looked over at us and she said, I just joined this Pentecostal church, this mega church. My wife asked her, why? This lady was a devout Catholic. Why? Oh, they have tremendous programs for my kids. She asked her right away, well, what does this church teach? I don't know. It just has good programs for kids. How many people join churches today, not because it's valid in the Word of God, but rather because of what it has to offer, or because they have a fantastic preacher? There was a church in Toledo, Ohio that I heard about. It was a mega church. You got into the church Sunday morning, the doors were locked. The offering was taken, counted. If it didn't make the budget, the plates went around again and again until they had enough money. And of course, their pastor had a very expensive automobile, brand new every year. And his salary went through the roof. They loved him, but they didn't care about what he taught, just so they were happy to be there. Factions occur. Yes, even in our churches. In one church I was at, there were two brothers who could not stand each other. And they brought it into the church. Both of their wives liked to do floral arrangements. So at one voters' meeting, one of the brothers made the motion, and sad to say it was carried, you can only have real flowers on the altar. So it was passed, and the other brother's wife on that Sunday was responsible for the flowers on the altar. So she put flowers on the altar, and she just barely got to the back of the church, and here's the other wife going up to make sure there weren't any synthetic flowers on the altar. Factions can cause disruptions in a church. And because we're sinful human beings, at times things become too important. That was an example of adiaphora. But my thought later on was, because I had this happen in another church I served, there was one lady who was deathly allergic to live plants. Now, if she went to that church, what would happen? She couldn't come. It would be a problem. So we've got to be careful. Adiaphora, how we handle our congregation, how we do the work of our congregation, that's up to discussion. But we must make sure that it does not cause a division, taking away from the real purpose of the church, proclaiming the Word of God in unity with one another. The cross of Christ, foolishness to mankind. Someone died to pay for the sins of all people of all time. That's not possible, but it's true. And that is our main purpose or focus. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. That's why you are here this morning, even though it's snowing outside. The roads might be a little slippery. When I walked across, they were just plowing a lot so I could still walk through the deeper snow so I didn't slip or slide. But it could be dangerous, but you're here. You're here because you want to hear the good news of the gospel. And that's what I proclaim to you every single Sunday. He says also, not with the wisdom used in speeches. In other words, not in human wisdom. Don't bring in human ideas to pollute the gospel. Human ideas, work righteousness. Oh, you don't need Jesus, because if you really live a good life, God will reward you and you'll go to heaven. So forget about Jesus. That's human wisdom. As I mentioned earlier, a man dying to pay for the sins of the whole world, that's not possible. So therefore, you have to do something too. And we could go on and on. It's kind of interesting when I watch TV. Sometimes I watch shows that talk about science trying to prove or disprove the Bible. The crossing of the sea. What's the most common interpretation? They went on the far end of the sea where it was only about 2 feet deep, and that's where they walked across. So there was no miracle. Or the flood in Noah's day. There were about four or five various countries that had floods in their history. So it wasn't really one flood, it was a bunch of floods, but it didn't cover the whole world. And why do they say that? Because it's not possible, humanly speaking. But God did it. And with God, nothing is impossible. So we follow his word. We believe what he has to say. And we know that it has power. Many times I get up in the morning, I come over to church. Something is on my mind. I just open the Bible and right there's the passage I need to see. The Holy Spirit guided me to find the answer in his word. That Bible is powerful, very powerful. It's what the Holy Spirit uses to bring you to faith and to keep you in that faith. And so he says, use it for the strengthening of your faith, to guide you through this world of sin, this dark world, to the light of eternal glory in heaven. Yes, we live in a world of darkness, but we have the light of the gospel. Let it shine forth. Be illumined by it in everything you say, think, and do, to the glory of God and to the salvation of your souls. Amen.